Great. Today I was thinking about today and the year that's gone past and the year that we're going into. I wanted to ask a few questions. Maybe too, if you'd like to, if your children would need like to, we can just close the doors. There is a mic, a speaker out there, and you can sit in the foyer there with your kids if you like, if that would help them a little bit. I know it is long for them, and thank you. Bless you, little ones. It's so good to have you here. But if they do need some space and you like to look after them in the foyer, that might help you a little bit. And so the two questions I wanted to ask as we move into 2014, I think it's amazing that there's a lot of things going on in the world, and we know that. And outside of God, the world can be a pretty scary place. But in God, I believe this is our time to shine. This is a time for the church to rise up and to take its rightful place in the nations of the world and in the cities that God's called us to. You know the amazing thing about light? There's no argument between light and darkness. There's no argument. If you switch a light on, darkness goes. And we carry the light of God. We are torchbearers for the kingdom. And Jesus says that we carry the light of God, and our light shines not only through what we do, what we say, but also through what we do. And these young people that we have going to the nations, AJ and Michelle and Cam and Aaron and Julia and Christy and Dave and Melina, their heart is to, through their lifestyle, through their good deeds, through supplying pure water, through loving people, through building schools, is to share the love of Jesus. But the Bible is very clear that we're to be a witness for Him, not only at the uttermost parts of the world, but also in a city and the nation that God has called us to. And God has called us, the majority of us, to serve in this nation, to be a light in a dark place. And we know that even in the city, the stats say that about 4,000 people would be a part of a church or would call themselves Christian in the city. That means we've got about 75 to 80,000 people that do not know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And it's our responsibility, primary, where God places us, through word and through deed, to shine the light of God and to create an atmosphere where people's concept of God changes, because the church has not done a good job of representing God well. Often we've been judgmental, and often we haven't represented Him well. But God wants this world to know that He loves them, and He loves them unconditionally. And they come just as they are, just like we did. The church often does a good job of preaching the gospel, where God wants you to come just as you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you've lived. But once you've come, then we start putting rules and regulations on people. And I tell you, it's very difficult to serve anybody with a bunch of rules. Do you know how difficult it is? God only gave us 10. How good did we do at those 10? And the Word of God says this in Galatians, that God sent the law, and the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. How does the law lead us to Christ? The Lord leads us to Christ because we understand that in our own strength and our own ability, we cannot keep the law. It's impossible. And the journey that we've been on since God opened our hearts and our lives to see Him has been a journey of faith. And I want to speak a little bit about faith today. We live in a humanistic society where everything we seem to be able to wonder. If I can't work it out in my brain, then it can't be true. If I can't fit God into these 3 pounds of jelly with a few electrodes in my head, then he can't exist. How ridiculous is that? How ridiculous is that? You know, I love remote controls. In fact, well, I've got three because I've got three things going on my TV. And rather than, if I lose a remote control, I will search for it for 15 minutes rather than go and change the channel on the TV. But I have no idea how that remote control works. I have no idea how those people get in that box on my TV screen, especially the thin screens. How do they fit all those people in there? Those big football players and hockey players in that thin screen. I have no idea, but I still use it. It's there. And you know that God is speaking all the time. God speaks to us through creation. God speaks to us in dreams and visions, through audible voices sometimes, through still small voices. The problem is like even in this room, there are television waves, there are radio waves, there are sound waves going through this place, thousands upon thousands. But unless we tune into them, we never hear them. And God says, be still and know that I am God. It's a walk of faith. Tune into me. Settle your life. Get rid of all the clutter around you and come spend time with me, for I will reveal myself to you. Jeremiah 29 says this, that if you seek me, you will find me. But this is that's the top part of the promise. The bottom is, if you seek me with all your heart. See, God is not into casual relationships. God is not into casual seekers. God wants a covenantal relationship. You see, marriage was never meant to be a contract. It was meant to be a covenant only broken by death. And that covenant, Jesus, the new covenant, was bought with his blood so that we could have a relationship with the Holy God and enter into his presence. We can tune into him on a daily basis and be filled with his presence and his glory. And he will speak to us in our hearts. You see, the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 4, like you say, I haven't got to one verse here yet, so don't worry, Jay. I know you're looking for them on the screen there. This is amazing scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, as we would, us Africans would say, heart, with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because you can never work God out. He is too big. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The longest journey in the world is the journey of faith from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Because if I can convince you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if I can convince you that he's real, I can convince you that he died for you, somebody else may be able to convince you the opposite. And we go like this. We vacillate. Because we live in a humanistic society where God has been taken out of education, where God has been placed in a little manageable box, and God says, I will not live in a box. Not even the universe can contain me, because I breathe stars. I create stars for my good pleasure. And just when Hubble thinks it's getting to the end, there's more. And that's the God we serve. That's the God that says, if you come on a journey with me, if you put away this a journey of faith, you will find me. And I will reveal myself to you. Now, I am going to tell you the most radical story that if I didn't know this man personally, I would not believe myself. is a man by the name of Tony Johnson. He lives in India, has lived there for many years. I've known him for 20, 30 years. In the 70s or early 80s, he was a New Zealander, went to India to find God. Drugs, high in LSD, acid, gone from ashram to ashram, holy man to holy man, trying to find God. Well, he got to the foot of the Himalayas, very beautiful part of India. And there was an ashram there, a Hindu temple. And he was in this temple and he was full of disease, on his way out, disillusioned after many years trying to find God. And he was praying in this temple to the goddess Shiva. And while he was praying to her, or maybe just sitting there, he said, God, if you are real, reveal yourself to me. Something like that, whether he said it or thought it. And out of this idol's eyes came two bright lights. Freaked him out. Freaking you all out. He got up and he went and found the Hindu priest and he freaked out. He says, this is what I saw. And this priest said, the true God has revealed himself to you. I don't know who he is, but you go and find him. Went back to Delhi on the streets there, and there was a Swedish missionary. Good old days when the guys would either stand on a box with a Bible and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was sitting there in a corner near this guy, and this guy was telling people, just walking, nobody seemed to be listening, about Jesus. And while he was there, this thought came into his spirit, you have found the true God. He went to that man. The man led him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's planted 20, 30, 40, 50 churches in India, and he's still there to this day, serving God with his family. God is gracious. God is compassionate. And God is looking for seekers. And many of them aren't in the church, but there are many people that need to know that Jesus loves them, even if they reject you. Even if they shout at you, a seed of love is sown. And we need to see this world does not need more politicians, more nuclear bombs. It needs Jesus Christ. And we have an opportunity as we end this year to determine that we will not finish next year where we are now. That we will play our part in populating heaven through word and deed. Because one will plant a seed, someone else will water it, but God will make it grow. And church, my heart and my cry is that we will be captivated by God. You see, if every one of those 4,000 Christians in this city led one person to the Lord in the next year, that would be 8,000. We think revival's broken out. The churches would double, just with one each. One. Just one each. And if that 8,000 did it, and we know the picture. My friend has this saying, Ashley Bell and Michelle and Cam are going to be working with him in South Africa at the church he leads. He has a frame, and that frame is empty. And he has in there, who is in your frame? Who has God put in that frame for you to pray for you to reach out to? And he starts adding pictures. of people that he knows, the doctors, the dentists, people at work, friends, family. And he puts those pictures in that frame, and he asks God for a strategy for that church, and how to reach the lost. Now everybody has a frame in their home, and they're praying for those people. They're praying for the neighbors. They're praying for the grumpy bosses. And they're starting to see the fruit of that as they begin to be intentional about their lifestyle in reaching out to the lost. This journey of faith is an amazing one. And I have three quotes here. I'm just going to not go through these notes. Do a study on faith. And A.W. Tozer, if we can have that. Thanks, Jay. Wrote this: without faith, not one promise in the Word of God will come to pass. Our very salvation depends on us believing in God and His Word. Smith Wigglesworth: we must not lower the level of our faith to our experience, but bring it up to the level of God's Word. For we will never know what we are made of until we are tested. And an unknown quote. This is more than likely for me one of the most powerful. It speaks to me, and hopefully it will speak to all of us. Only the humble will walk in great faith. Why? Because we don't like to be embarrassed by our faith failures. What happens if somebody rejects us? What happens if we pray for somebody and they're not healed? What happens? And we walk past opportunities daily. And it says, many of us have never had great faith failures because we would not get out the boat. And I pray that this year, that we will be a people that get out the boat. That we'll be a people that reach out to the lost. That we'll be a people that spend our hearts on behalf of the lonely and the lost. I'm going to finish with one scripture, and we might pick up with this message at another stage. It's an amazing scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross be emptied of its power. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about this incomparably great power that is for us who believe. The church is full of unbelieving believers. We need to be believing believers, so that we are not emptying the cross of its power. It's not that Jesus died for us and that was a big deal. It was that He rose again and that He is seated in heavenly realms at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And we have authority and power in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we have an opportunity to confess that this side of eternity, but we all will confess it one day. And there's a powerless church with a powerless cross, and that needs to change. That needs to change. Do you know in Luke 16, Jesus asks this amazing question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? The conversation in the church is this: are the times of sign, wonders, and miracles over? Will you go and tell me and show me in the Word where God says it's over? So Jesus didn't say, when I come, will the signs, wonders, and miracles be over? He said, will I be coming back to an unbelieving, believing church? And it's going to take faith. It's got to us understand, and we're going to look at a few things that empty the cross of its power. And we're going to look at one or two of those. And the first one is when we move from faith in God and His Word to human effort and wisdom. When we begin to believe that we have something to do with it in our own strength and own ability. When we think it's somehow all about us. You see, just like electricity flows through a conduit, through an electric cable to put these lights on, there's a power source that we don't even know where it is. There's a power source in heaven called God, who created heaven and earth. And He said, you will receive power from where? From on high, from heaven, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. And we need to understand that all we are is conduits of the power. We are not the source of the power, and we have nothing to do with the power of God. We cannot save one person. We cannot heal one person. We cannot see one person set free but God. And when we open our lives and we just allow Him to pour Himself in us and flow through us and in us and flow through us, things change. That's why Peter and Paul and the apostles, when they raised people from the dead and when they laid hands on them, people wanted to make them gods. And they said, no, we did nothing. We just released the power of God. We just were plugged into the source and the power flowed through us. And if the enemy can get us to think it's about us, when we fail, we get into condemnation, or we think it's because we're a bad person. We think of so many things and we are immobilized. And we do not do what God has called us to do because we realize that empties the cross of its power when we rely on our own strength and our own wisdom. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to hear the voice and do what He says. We've got to get out the boat, and when we sink, know that He will pick us up again. Amen? Amen. The cross is emptied of its power when we try to gain or maintain our salvation through our own strength. This is a big one. Often, people are saved out of terrible circumstances. And I tell you what, whether you did one little white lie or you murdered something, sin is sin. And you need to be set free. You need to be set free. And God has the power to set you free. But what happens is people come to the cross, they're saved, they're radically saved, they're full of mercy and grace, they're full of the love of God, and they want to serve Him. And the enemy says, how dare you? Look at what you were. Look at what you did. Look at how you lived. And the cross is emptied of its power because we think it's about us. Instead of being a conduit of love, a conduit of blessing, a conduit of finances, a conduit of everything I have, say, it's yours, God. I'm going to give it and use it for you. I just want to be a conduit for you. And condemnation paralyzes people their whole lives. 20, 30, 40 years are still not fulfilling the call of God to its fullness in their lives because of something they did. Give it to God. God sets you free. God will break, and He's the only one that can break the power of sin. Give it to Him and be set free. Because your circumstance becomes a stepping stone for somebody else. Because if you've been in an addiction, if you've been a person that has been abused, if you've been through a terrible situation, of your doing or not of your doing, it doesn't matter. God sets you free, and God will give you a compassion for people that are out there with the same issues. God says, now I want you to turn this thing around. I want you to take the freedom I've given you, and I want you to give it away. I want you to go into the highways, into the byways. I want you to take what I've given you. I've set you free, and where whom the Son sets free, the Word says, is free indeed. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, Romans 8 says, has set us free from the law of sin and death. We are free. We are saved by grace. We stand here today just as if we have never sinned. Can you believe that? Now, if you try in your own mind, it makes no sense. But in your heart, it makes sense. And you go and say, yeah, I was like you. I was lost. I was eating pig food. I was in a terrible, but God, who is rich in mercy, made me alive in Christ. Give that away. And the guy might reject you. And I'll tell you a story. There was an amazing story in this, and I think I'll need to finish here. We were praying here for one of the city councilors, Johan, in a prayer meeting here, Larry McNabb, and the story is out there, and I'm not wanting, do not want to dishonor him in any way. But he had pancreatic cancer, and Johan in a prayer meeting said, listen, I think we need to go and pray for him. It was in the newspaper. City councilor for many, many years. Done a lot of good in the city. And I said, Johan, do you know him? He says, well, I met him once. But Johan made this appointment. And we went to his house. And he's sitting there with this blanket around him. Very grateful that we came. God had his attention. His wife was grateful. He began to share the story of his life, and after a while, I just felt I needed to ask him to cut in and say, listen, do you know something like this? Where you're going if you passed away today? Something like that. I can't remember the exact words. Couldn't say. Quite horrifying, but no. And it started a conversation with him. Came and said that he is in his 80s. When he was 9 or somewhere around there, he had an experience with God at a youth camp. He's now in his 80s. Never again felt that he had asked Jesus into his life as a young boy. Couldn't remember it all. But now on his deathbed, God, who is rich in mercy, saved him. We led him to the Lord. The peace came upon him, and a couple of days later, he passed away. Family impacted by the love of God. And I realized and I remembered what an amazing God that would pursue a man for 70 plus years. But you know what was even more radical? When we left there, Johan thanked me because I was the talker. I said, Johan, if you had not been obedient and phoned him, I would not have been here today. There's no ways I would have done that. And you see how we can work together. Because you can say, hey, I don't know all the answers, but there's some crazy dude that knows a few more than me. And we can work together. And forever that man will be rejoicing. We went to him in palliative care. His family was there. We prayed the prayer. He was so happy to see us. The presence of God in that room, it was like oil. Those children knew that God was in that place. And we pray for their salvation too. But we are God's representatives through clean water, through building houses, for shoveling the elderly person's driveway when there's snow on it, as our neighbor, for helping the single moms who never get a break and looking after their kids, for getting to know our community and saying, where can I help? And one day, when they ask why, then we tell them. We pray for them. So I'm asking you to pray about who's in your frame. Could be a child. Could be your own child. Could be a loved one. There could be 10 people. Put it on your fridge. If you don't have pictures, then names. And let's ask God for a strategy so that we are populating heaven through our words and through our deeds and through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. The worship team can please come forward. Can we just put this, Jay, can I just put this scripture up and then we're going to worship God, because this scripture sums up my life. Titus 3, verse 3 to 5. We can worship, do some worship, just lifting Jesus, some worship, sir. This sums up my life, and I'm sure many of our lives. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. If you live in there today, there's an answer for you. Don't let what you see on television about religion put you off. God is the most misrepresented person in the universe. God is not into religion, He's into relationship. A personal relationship with the living God, who's intimately concerned and involved in your life and says, if you seek me, you will find me. Tune in to me. Tune out the clutter. Tune your spiritual ears to pick up what I'm saying in your heart, what I'm saying through the beauty of nature, what I'm saying to you through others. Lift your eyes and see me high and lifted up, for I love you and I care for you, says the Lord. But when the kindness, God is a kind God. Our job as Christians is not to judge others. Our God, our job as Christians is to love and show kindness. Because it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done. I have no authority to stand here, I promise you. But because of His great love and mercy. He saved me. He saved you. Fall in love with Him again. If you have forsaken your first love, fall in love with Jesus. You will be miserable outside of that first love relationship. And how did He save us? He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy, by the Holy Spirit. We're going to break bread today. We know that Jesus said that whenever we do this, we do it in remembrance of Him and we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. What do we proclaim? That God became a man, lived a sinless life, and then paid the ultimate price for our sin by taking upon Himself the sin of the world. I know it doesn't make sense. But God knew we couldn't save ourselves. He died for us and shed His blood. His body was broken. Because of that, we who acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior are forever saved and forever redeemed. For the question is not, can you lose your salvation? The question is, are you saved? And when we ask God to forgive us, the Word of God says this, He separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. And He chooses to remember it no more. And He puts our feet on a rock and He gives us a new life. New hope and a new future. And I believe He is reminding some of the joy of their salvation. And He's calling others to say that I love you. I love you unconditionally. Come just as you are. Ask me to forgive you, and I will. Declare me as your Lord and Savior, and you will be born again, born of the Spirit. And all of that will be taken away. And even though you will have trials, even though you will go through the valley of the shadow of death, even though things in this world will overwhelm you at times, I will never leave you or forsake you, for I hold you in my hand. And if you will receive me, I will walk you through those things, and you can call on me anytime you want. And one day you will spend eternity with me in heaven, not because of anything you did, because of what I did on your behalf on the cross when I laid down my life for you. And I built a bridge that you could walk over and you could have relationship with Father God. The Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and just your anointing to come and set people free, to break chains of injustice, to break chains of hurt and unbelief, to set us free so that we can go and give what you've given us to our neighbors and the nations. Paul and Katie, can you please come up? Mark and Felicity, Berenice and Heidi, can you please come in? stand here. We're going to worship God. We'll thank you. Just gone 5 minutes over. And if you need to go, God bless you. But two things. If you'd like to break bread, please come forward and spend some time with your family if you like, on your own praying. But if you'd like to know more about this God that loves you, it'd be a privilege for me to speak to you. But don't leave this place any other way, knowing that you are precious in His sight.